The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, the Financial Secretary to the Treasury meets energy bosses over a tax review for the industry. There's a row over a major energy event's move from Aberdeen to Glasgow, and Aberdeen's new fleet of hydrogen buses go on show. But first, as Scottish Apprentice Week got underway, young people in the city and shire were being urged to think about the energy industry for their career path. It came as Apeeto's oil and gas training programme marked its 15th birthday in Aberdeen. John McDonald, their managing director, says it's been a great success.
It's a fantastic celebration. 15 years of success from a fairly small start to 140 candidates a year more recently. I think that this has been a programme that's designed by industry for industry, and that's probably been one of the key to its successes. I think it's significant in the sense that we often hear a lot about skill shortages and skills gaps, and this is one of the ways that the industry is working to address those shortages and gaps. And how we build on it? Well, we've built from fairly small numbers, and now, as I said, about 140 across the year group. Around 400 really are going through the system at the moment, 400 trainees.
Sinead Watson, the only girl who was in their first ever intake, says there's no glass ceiling for anyone starting in the industry this way.
I started the Apeeto Modern Apprenticeship Scheme by chance. I finished up at school, went to college for a year, wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I didn't really know very much about the industry, although I grew up locally, you know, not very far from Aberdeen. It still wasn't something that I guess was really part of day-to-day life. We didn't know what it was all about. So it was really by chance I saw the advert in the paper, went for it, and here I am.
Maersk Oil UK was this week awarded a contract for offshore work on replacing the Dumbarton Drill Cluster Centre in the North Sea. DOF Subsea UK will provide support to the replacement of the DCC's production riser. The work includes activities linked to the existing facility's recovery and surveys. Scottish Power has been hit with a penalty following an investigation into the price differences between different ways of paying. Ofgem allows suppliers to charge different amounts depending on how customers pay, such as by direct debit, based on the varying costs involved in collecting the payments. But the regulator found the firm didn't have a robust process between September 2009 and December 2012 to assess those costs and set their prices accordingly. Production was shut down at a North Sea rig after a leak of hydrocarbons was discovered over the weekend. The Snorre B platform field, which forms part of Norway's fourth biggest producing area, was partially evacuated. Operator Statoil say the Snorre A is operating as normal. The Financial Secretary to the Treasury this week met with oil and gas bosses in Aberdeen. Nicky Morgans discussed the government's review into how the industry is taxed. Ms Morgan says they're aware of the concerns raised by the sector about a new bareboat chartering tax measure.
Well, they are incredibly on board. They're really excited by the review. They really welcome the budget announcement. And I think the point that was made is that this year sees the 50th anniversary of the Continental Shelf Act being passed. We are dealing with a mature basin. And as somebody said, the next 50 years are not going to be the same as the last 50 years. So we've really got to put in place a fiscal regime which is going to incentivise exploration, ongoing drilling works, and also decommissioning, and everybody seems really up for looking at the way we do that.
And obviously we've had the review, the Wood Review published. For the UK government, how important is it to maximise every single last drop of this resource that we have in the North Sea?
Well, I think it's important for every single person in the United Kingdom. Clearly the oil and gas sector is very, very important. Indirectly or directly, there are 450,000 jobs across the UK that are reliant on this sector to do well. And we want to make sure that companies are incentivised and supported, as we say, to explore, to drill new wells, but also to help them when the sites reach the end of their life by decommissioning as well. And that's why having a broader UK support from the UK Treasury is really important in shouldering all those burdens.
In terms of working with industry, has the UK government learned from the lesson of the windfall tax a couple of years ago that proved hugely unpopular with the industry?
Well, I think one of the things that came out of the fiscal review and the presentation that we gave today is that we appreciate that industry wants certainty. We're operating in a global environment. Companies are making decisions often on a global basis, and therefore it is important that the regime that's put in place going forward is going to offer that industry that certainty. So, yes, and I think, but I think, you know, we didn't We didn't talk about that today. It was very much about looking to the future, and it's really exciting.
One of the new incentives we've talked about, the beer board chartering tax, that's been often talked about and firms have been raising concerns. Is that something that's been present today?
It hasn't been mentioned today. And I do understand, obviously, the concerns, but I also think that people across the UK would query the Treasury if we weren't aware of something where tax is not being paid. We weren't then saying, actually, we would like tax to be paid on something where £1.75 billion of profits has been made. So I've had extensive discussions with industry, but it wasn't mentioned today, and is about looking to the future.
The Westminster Energy Minister says the UK is ahead of the rest of Europe in carbon capture and storage technology. Michael Fallon's been responding to an Energy and Climate Change Committee report on CCS. A proposed project for Peterhead Power Station is one of two such projects actively under consideration by ministers. MPs have been told to fast-track their plans after years of delays.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
As this year's All Energy got underway in Aberdeen, Glasgow was accused of poaching it as it moves to the Central Belt for the next 3 years. Thousands of people attended the AECC conference, but we learned for the next 3 years it'll be held at the SECC instead. Labour MSP Lewis MacDonald says it's a big blow for the Granite City.
Very disappointed and very concerned. Aberdeen has supported this event very strongly over the years, and its attendances have grown year on year. And puzzled as well, because it's hard to understand why such a successful event would choose to relocate.
Visit Aberdeen's chief exec, Steve Harris, told my colleague Joe Odbert there are three key indications for why they're moving.
Well, we're obviously very disappointed. It's an event that's got its roots in Aberdeen, it's grown here, it's been successful here. We believe it's been successful because it's been in Aberdeen. And so it's a great shame to see it moving off down the road to Glasgow.
What does it mean for Aberdeen having this event here? I mean, do we know how much it brings into the economy?
We don't know exactly, but it's undoubtedly a substantial contributor to the economy. You can't get a hotel room in the city at the moment, and that will be knocked on through restaurants and all kinds of other activities around the city. So it's many, many tens of thousands of pounds that this is worth to us.
And is there any indication about why they've taken this decision?
There are three indications that I'm aware of. Two that they're talking about. One is the cost of hotel rooms, and obviously Aberdeen is a very successful city, and at busy times our hotel rooms are expensive, as they are in other successful cities. There's also the cost of, after the storm last year, the extra cost of putting the windproofing into the tent that they have to put up at AECC. The last thing is that we know is that Glasgow have huge sums of public money which they can invest in attracting conferences. And unfortunately, we don't have those sums available.
Energy Minister Fergus Ewing hit back at suggestions Scottish Government money played a part in the event's move from Aberdeen to Glasgow.
Well, these are matters for the organisers of the event and the conference organisers. These are not privy to the commercial details, but of course the Scottish Government is working with the City Council on the hydrogen bus project that we've just launched today, and we're very happy also. We've created a fund of £2 million to bring conferences to Scotland, to be able to bid up to £30 per delegate per night to attract conferences to come to Scotland. And I want to work with the leaders of Aberdeen City Council further to ensure that they can bring other conferences to Aberdeen. You know, Aberdeen is a capital for energy purposes. Also, I noticed the council have announced their own AREG conference to take place next year. So, it's a disappointing piece of news for Aberdeen. It's a decision, commercial decision for the organisers, but I'm sure Aberdeen can attract many other exciting conferences to this city.
Just lastly, it's claimed there was Scottish Government help in the SECC bid to bring it to Glasgow. Can you shed any light on that?
No, we don't provide financial support for one city in Scotland against another.
Among the big announcements made at All Energy included Scotland's first commercial electricity turbine harnessing tidal power. The system will power 30 homes, an ice plant and an industrial estate on Yell in Shetland. Energy Secretary Fergus Ewing says it keeps Scotland at the forefront of marine renewable technology.
There are many other companies and devices that are looking to be deployed in real time in Scotland over the next few years. We are in the lead in the world. There's a long way to go, but I think today will confound some of the sceptics and delight some of the supporters. It is providing electricity for an ice factory, for an industrial estate, and for up to 30 homes. So it does work, it is working, and Scotland is at the forefront of this new exciting technology.
Also on show was Aberdeen's new multi-million pounds hydrogen buses. The fleet of 10 are the largest of their kind in Europe, with the public getting their first chance to see them at All Energy. The City Council's Enterprise Committee convener, Barney Crockett, says we could see them in use by the end of the year.
Well, I think that the benefits that will be immediately apparent in the city will be that it's a very, very comfortable bus. It will give a great ride. It will be very quiet. But also it's producing absolutely no pollution of any kind. It only produces water vapour, so that means that it will be a big help to the city to meet our targets to reduce the pollution in the city centre. I think that in the later part of 2014, we have a lot of driver training to do. There's a has to be quite a lot of that done. So it'll be a wee while, but everybody has to know it's a work in progress, and Aberdeen will be leading the world.
These buses are obviously coming from Belgium. How much of a sense internationally have you got about Aberdeen's position in the hydrogen energy market?
Well, I think that we're quite simply the world leader. I think that that's, this will be Europe's largest fleet of hydrogen buses. And I think that, we heard the Scottish Government Minister, point to Aberdeen's world-leading position in this, and I think that's recognised. I think that we've managed to get the widest range of organisations you can imagine involved in funding and supporting the project, right through the public sector, from ourselves, Scottish Government, European Union, but also a huge range in the private sector all involved.
First Bus's Managing Director, Duncan Cameron, says they'll cut pollution in the city.
Obviously, they're low emission. I think our customers will appreciate the fact they're low emission and the benefits they will have to the environment.
Nick Rawl from BOC explained their involvement in the project.
BOC are one of the primary project partners in this project. We're going to be providing the refuelling infrastructure for the buses, which will be commissioned in October this year.
And what seems particularly interesting about Aberdeen's example is that it will all be produced here rather than shipped in.
Absolutely. For hydrogen to be used as a zero-emission fuel, it makes no sense to transport the hydrogen on the roads using diesel trucks. So we're producing it at the point of use at the Kitty Brewster site in Aberdeen.
And we're here at All Energy at the moment. Where is Aberdeen's position, do you think, in the hydrogen energy industry? Are we leading the way, like the City Council leader says?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, really, the only other competition that Aberdeen has is London, but you've got some unique advantages. You've got an abundance of renewable energy in the region, which we could harness. You've also got a very sort of willing and political sort of supportive framework in that area. And you've got people like Aberdeen City Council, really getting behind hydrogen. And hopefully we can see hydrogen used not only as a transport fuel, but it can lead to many other applications throughout the city.
Oil and gas services firm Subsea 7 sealed a multi-million pounds contract to build a pipeline in the North Sea. The £270 million contract is for Premier Oil's Catcher Field east of Aberdeen, with the work set to start next year. Construction will be carried out at Subsea's offices in the Granite City, near Wick and in Edinburgh. The Scottish Government's given the green light to a new wind farm which could power nearly 50,000 homes. Planning permission's been approved for the 26 turbines in South Lanarkshire. Kype Muir development will have a maximum capacity of 104 megawatts. A North East oil and gas training provider secured contracts worth £1 million in the last 3 months. MDT International's agreements include work across Africa, South America and Australia. The Aberdeen-based firm offers courses in more than 70 countries. General Manager Doug Reid's delighted at the deals they've signed.
We're really pleased with the contracts that we've been awarded. I think it's a great reflection on the work that we've been doing to understand our clients' needs, and it's also testament to the quality of the courses that we deliver and the people that we use to deliver them. We work hard to recognise the different cultures and that they respond in different ways, but deep down I think we find people are more alike than they're different, and our courses seem to resonate well with them. As far as oil and gas people go, they seem to resonate with them well all over the world. We get a lot of repeat business. We try hard to work with our companies and clients to really understand what they want to develop their staff. This is not just about us selling training courses to clients, it's about building a relationship with them that delivers the type of development that they need for their staff. So the fact that clients come back to us for repeat business is very, very encouraging.
The development of a major North Sea gas discovery has taken a step forward. Maersk have announced details of a standalone complex for the Culzean field. It'll include a wellhead platform, living quarters and a central processing facility connected by bridges. Spending on the project is expected to top £3 billion at the site, which is around 145 miles off the coast of Aberdeen. The International Well Control Forum's spending £200,000 on a new centre to enhance their training for their assessors and instructors. IWCF sets international training standards of well control, with a facility set to open in Montrose in June. The new base will also house the latest simulator technology. And rounding off the week, it's been confirmed packages found on a North Sea platform didn't contain illegal substances. Police say following testing, it's emerged it was crushed pain relief medication. The packages were handed in at the weekend from the Talisman-operated Piper Bravo installation, with all staff on board tested. Officers say their inquiries have concluded and they won't be taking further action. Don't forget, for the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during the North Sound 1 and 2 breakfast shows. But that's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.